Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. In Collapse, we often talk about the idea of catch-22s, essentially the fact that we've gotten ourselves into a position in which there is no good way out. You take one route and you have collapse. You take another route and you have another type of collapse. Some routes are better or worse than others. Perhaps the biggest example of this from a macro scale is just simply saying that we have two choices. We can continue to try and technology our way out of collapse, which inevitably requires status quo, more resources being expended, more damage being done to the earth. So in essence, we are trying to fight against collapse. Or on the other hand, we can collapse intentionally. We can embrace degrowth. Either one is a type of collapse in its own way. It is a catch-22. Not collapsing is simply not an option. And this can be seen in many micro instances as well. For example, in climate, we've seen that we have increased the amount of greenhouse gas emissions in industries like shipping, for example. However, if we simply stop shipping, or if we reduce the amount of aerosols emitted through the shipping process, it actually has an immediately negative effect because those aerosols at the same time help block out sunlight. We've done entire episodes on this idea. So essentially, the more shipping that we do, the more greenhouse gas emissions are emitted, and the more CO2 increases in the long term. However, when we stopped shipping in 2020 due to COVID, and by stopped, I mean reduced significantly, there was an immediate spike in warming due to the fact that those aerosols, the sulfates, were not blocking out sunlight. Another catch-22, and they say that if we were to completely stop or eliminate those sulfates, it would cause a very significant increase in warming. At this point, I can't remember, we talk about the numbers in that episode, but it was a substantial amount of immediate warming if we were to go that route. All right, so those are just a couple examples of catch-22s. Now, the purpose of this episode today is another micro example of a catch-22 that we currently find ourselves in. I hadn't really thought about it this way previously, but I did see a post that was made on the Collapse subreddit kind of to this idea. And the catch-22 is this. An extraordinary amount of money has been invested into AI, into an attempt to make AI this super intelligent, efficient, productive beast that is supposed to fix all of humanity's problems and et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about AI extensively on the podcast, and we've talked about it. We covered it from several different angles. I recently did one of these daily episodes on just the idea that we could be in an AI bubble, but I want to focus today on the paradox, on the catch-22 that we find ourselves in, because it does really highlight that no matter what the outcome is regarding AI, we have backed ourselves into a corner that will have negative consequences no matter what. So on the one side, if the attempt at AI, if the attempt that's being made and the money that's being invested is successful, that will come with an extraordinary amount of consequences. Now, some of those consequences may be viewed as positive. Many of those consequences may be viewed as negative. For techno-optimists, the future is this utopian paradise in which AI makes it so that we can, you know, never have to work again on the things that we don't want to. It will solve all diseases. It will solve inequality. We'll have magical AI-run governments that provide equitable resources to everyone with extended lifespans. Efficient production that means that there is no wealthy or poor, or at least that everyone can be wealthy, etc., etc. Others say that if AI really does take off and become super intelligent like they're trying to achieve, that it could result in highly negative consequences, like the AI trying to take over, destroying all of humanity, etc., etc. But on maybe a more realistic scope is that AI would be used by the wealthy to control the masses, that there is no way that those in power who own the AI would allow for widespread equitable circumstances without their ability to control it. Now, while of course I would love for the optimistic take to be the right one, I tend to believe more in the idea that AI will be used to control the masses, and that while it has the potential to become super intelligent or whatever, that if it did, I don't believe it would be used in some massively benevolent way. Now, again, that's just on the side. Those two or three options there, those kind of outlooks, are if AI became super intelligent, which is what all of this money, this billions and billions, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars worth of investment, claim that they are aiming for. Worldwide spending is projected to reach nearly $1.5 trillion this year, 2025, in investments in AI. Private investment, so not just in the stock market, but private investment has seen influxes of investment up to $750 billion raised for AI ventures globally. By 2026, that number is supposed to hit $2 trillion. All right, now what happens if it comes to the point where these AI companies, which are receiving all of this money, all of this investment into the stock market, what if it doesn't pan out? What if people start to realize, hey, super intelligence is not happening, or it's super far out, or even just modest productivity gains are not materializing? People want returns on their money. It's not just about putting, you know, money into the stock market as a charitable venture to try and save humanity so that 30 years from now we can have a super intelligence that our grandchildren can enjoy. No, people want returns on their money. And so as they're investing hundreds of billions and into the trillions of dollars, they want to see those companies come back and say, here is the money that your money is making. Here is the increase in revenue that we are receiving, and obviously them being paid out for that. And so as that does not materialize, and we're starting to see that, people start to panic and say, oh my goodness, I have invested my life's savings or whatever into this technology. It's not panning out, and they start to pull it out, right? That's what happened during the dot-com bust in 2000. There was an overvaluation, an overhyping of the value of these companies that grew and grew and grew, did not materialize in many instances. It caused at one point when people really realized that, and everyone realized that everyone else was going to be pulling their money out and that the values were going to decrease, everyone pulled out and the bubble popped. And this is the fear of what will start happening if valuations seem to be overhyped and too high, and these companies are not able to come out and sort of show the progress and show the gains that are going to earn these people their returns. This is a rich people's game, a game that the vast majority of us are not playing. There is a cycle in the stock market of wealthy companies investing in other wealthy companies, wealthy people investing in those wealthy companies. AI companies are investing in each other. They're partnering with each other. They're buying each other out. They're becoming major stockholders in the success of each other. 75% of the gains in the S&P 500 in the last few years have been from these big AI companies. 30% of all the valuation, of all the market cap of the S&P 500 is from one of the, what they call the Magnificent Seven. That is essentially Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla. Nvidia is the first company to ever be valued at $5 trillion. If I had invested $5,000 in Nvidia 10 years ago in 2015, I would now have over $2 million. It has had a 406 times increase in value in the last 10 years. And much of that has come in just the last two or three. Without AI, I read recently, our economy would have grown by something like 0.1%. Essentially, we are completely stagnant without it. We are recessionary without it. The economy is facing a myriad difficulties right now. Challenges, issues, attacks, whether it be from geopolitical tensions, from wars that are happening around the world, to U.S. isolationism and the tariffs, to climate change impacts and the pressure that that's putting on supply chains and industries, to the poor becoming poorer and not being able to purchase, to inflation increasing, to all these different things that are happening, right? And on top of all that, you have now this influx in investment into AI is essentially covering all of that other stuff. Without this, we're not growing, which from a sort of meta collapse perspective is great. The growth is the problem, right? From an everyday ability to feed your family sort of way, to have a job, to provide, to survive, that growth is built into our system. It's required for those things to function. And so AI is essentially what is propping up our economy. It's keeping people in jobs in a way for the moment because of these investments. So if the panic starts to set in, these investors start to pull out, that will do a couple of things. On one end, it will essentially kill any momentum made towards this supposed, you know, AI boom that we're going to have. It may consolidate down into a few core companies continuing to do research on it, and that may be the right approach. That may be the proper valuation instead of all the hype that we're seeing now. But it would, in the meantime, destroy, kill, deflate the economy. And this does, of course, seem like the most likely outcome. Rather than all of this money being able to accomplish superintelligence, which we need more than just money to accomplish superintelligence. We've talked about how this has major impacts on water usage. It has major impacts on energy usage. There are potential limitations to achieving superintelligence beyond just the research and scientific side and the complications of actually, you know, achieving it from a theoretical standpoint, but the actual practical realization that, you know, requires much more resources than we have available. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't know enough about the theory side of it. You know, some of the new ideas they're coming out with quantum processing and computing and the changes that those things could make, I don't know. I think that there are going to be milestones that could potentially make it possible. And that's what so much of this money is going towards. But it's all a question of timing, of what that research will show, of what milestones we hit, what breakthroughs are found. But in the meantime, facing the reality that likely there is an overvaluation of these companies, that as the other pressures mount within the economy, investors may panic and pull that money out. Now, I do think that there is a potential sort of middle ground here. And frankly, it may be the worst of all options. The way that I view it is that these Magnificent Seven and any other companies that are investing heavily in AI research and technology start to realize that, hey, superintelligence is far off. It is a pipe dream, or perhaps it's not even possible. Instead, what do we have? We have tools that we have built. We have investors who are demanding returns. And so for the time being, in order to avoid a bubble bursting, in order to maintain our valuations, in order to stay wealthy, in order to keep people investing in us, we have to provide something of value in return. And since it is the wealthy that they're trying to appease, it is their investors that they're trying to keep happy, it is governments who might be subsidizing them, who might be making decisions whether or not to regulate them, et cetera, they start to turn towards the ways that they know that they can benefit those people, that they can benefit the wealthy, that they can benefit governments.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
They stop thinking about how AI can solve inequality. They stop thinking about how AI can cure diseases, or at least cure diseases for everyone. And instead they pivot. And they may have had good intentions to start with. They may have had their eyes on this beautiful utopian future, but they hit reality and realize that to survive as a company, as a corporation, to stay listed in the stock market or whatever, they say, no, we need to serve the people who are paying us. And to serve the people who are paying us, what does that mean? It means, hey, governments want more surveillance of their citizens. And I have a tool that we can make that happen. And hey, those governments are willing to pay us billions of dollars. And the stock market, oh, how those investors are going to love to see that we just had a $100 billion increase in revenue. And all we had to do was sell out the people of the United States, as an example, to be more closely surveilled. And oh, the dream was to replace a certain type of labor, you know, the most difficult menial task, and to allow people to be free, you know, to pursue their artistic ambitions. but instead, hey, look, this tool that I have is really efficient at creating art, and not creating art, but stealing art. This whole generative AI thing, I can use this to replace those people. It may not be in the best of our interest to create robots right now that can do menial physical tasks when I can make a bunch of money for my investors doing it this way. Or it may have been their priorities to make sure that alignment was appropriate. If you're not familiar with the term alignment, it's essentially saying that the AI's interests align with humanity's best interests. Maybe that alignment now shifts a little bit more towards government's best interests or towards the wealthy's best interests, which might mean how can we replace workers, middle-class workers, for example, who, you know, white-collar jobs at computers, how can we replace them, but now we don't have to worry about replacing them and fixing the issue of them being without jobs anymore because it's the wealthiest of citizens, it's the most upper classes who are spending money on my products, it's the CEOs and the executives, and those are the people that we need to keep happy. Now, I know that a bunch of this was already happening, right? Many companies, of course, are utilizing AI for these very purposes. For many companies, it was never the intention to create some sort of future utopia. It was always about extracting as much value as quickly as possible. But I do feel that that this need, this push for showing a return in order to avoid a bubble is going to essentially make it so that it's a foregone conclusion. It is a requirement to behave that way. There has long been this safety in AI and double and triple and quadruple checking and rolling things out slowly to make sure that it has, you know, the proper effect, to make sure that it's aligned, to make sure that it doesn't have negative consequences for the end user or for the corporation itself that might be using it. But for these companies who need revenue now, this puts the pressure to produce and to roll out these products that much more quickly. What was once the ability for an AI company to say, here is what we want to do in the future, here is what we're building towards, here is the beautiful thing we're going to create, is now turning into, holy crap, we have to push this out. We have to show that we're making money. And so by whatever means necessary, get an end product, get it into the hands of investors, and start selling it. And I think that will have severe consequences. All right. I know that this is one of those topics in which opinions are all over the place. For me personally, I struggle to find exactly where I sit on how I think the future will be. What I've just described seems like the most likely, especially in the short term. I do not discount the possibility of general intelligence and maybe one day super intelligence that could have a severely negative impact on humanity. And I also won't say that it's impossible that we could come up with some sort of intelligence that at some point could improve people's lives, possibly in the short to midterm. I do not think that we can avoid collapse with it, certainly. But I also wouldn't be flabbergasted to find out that one day short-term problems were resolved because of the use of AI. I don't think it's the most likely. It doesn't seem to be the direction that we're currently headed in. But I leave room for it, recognizing that Jevons paradox does always exist, and that those short-term problem solving, you know, that the short-term gains would come with long-term negative aspects. I don't think that we avoid collapse. And in this sort of micro example of our current economic outlook due to AI, it will be interesting to see in which form it comes.
Neulich bei der Versicherung.
Bahnhof.
Bahnhof, Bahnhof.
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 Sie verstehen bei Ihrem Berater nur Bahnhof? Zeit zu Ergo zu wechseln, denn da verstehen Sie nur.
Einfach.
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 Denn wir machen Versichern einfacher. Einfach, weil's wichtig ist. Ergo.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.